I open my door in my, kind of my pajamas, and there he is, and he has this Bible, and we sit and have what was my first quiet time. And he would come every day for a couple of weeks, 5 days a week, and then he kind of backed off and would come 3 days and then down to 2 days, and he was trying to get me launched on my own. And I would sputter and go along, kind of get going. He would encourage me. But I have to say that this idea that we're sharing about this morning is so profoundly radical and important that I tell people, if I know someone is actually a believer in Christ, there is no more important thing that I would want to share with them or try to help them with or try to invest in their lives than this whole issue. And so some of you who've been at this a while and maybe you're just doing great at this, let me encourage you to also think about this being a habit and some tools and some things that you want to help another person with. Because again, I don't think you can do anyone a greater favor other than introducing him to the Lord himself than keeping him introduced on a day or her on a day-by-day-by-day basis. And I'm just curious, as we're getting launched here, why would you come to this workshop? There's a lot of other good workshops there that you could choose from. I'm just curious to hear some of what motivates you to come to this. That's looking good. Thanks. It's a little entertainment while we're doing this, too. Thanks, guys.
You got a little ethics on your course saying that if you're a first timer, you should go to this class.
Okay. Why do you think that's in there? That's great.
It's important to meet with Christ on a daily basis. And it's really important to be consistent. And, I need help in being real consistent, because I know it's really important. And although I'm not all that consistent. That's why I came here.
The desire to be consistent and the recognition of the importance
of an intimacy relationship.
Of an intimate relationship with Christ. That's great. Thanks. Any other?
The motivation. Motivation.
Yeah, motivation.
Because you can get pumped up, fired up while it goes good and take us off. So just keep that motivation.
Well, Jerry Bridges talks about in his book, Pursuit of Holiness, that he reads the aerobics book by Cooper, a dozen times, not to get the information. He just needs the motivation. I think just coming to this. And I know every time I share this, it kind of gets me pumped up again. So, yeah, any other thoughts? Yeah.
We wrote up with Dwayne Hollis from Dallas.
Yes.
And
you're a friend of Frank Childers.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we wanted to meet you and find out what kind of people Dwayne was hanging around.
Oh, goodness. Dwayne needs help, that guy. No, he's a good...
What about you?
Well, we have this mutual thing going there. That's great. When I think of all the things that I have invested in that have yielded less than great results, it's a little humbling. I remember in high school, I talked my parents into letting me buy a Harley-Davidson, but the only problem was it was in boxes. It was... For $50, it was all I could afford. And I swore and promised and told them, I will put this thing together. So it had a frame, and we brought these boxes home, and I paid my $50, and it sat in the garage. And I'd walk by it every day, and kind of Christmas break, I'd kind of look at it and take out a little carburetor and try and screw a bolt and put it back. And it sat there, and then I went off to college, and then at some point it just disappeared. My parents shipped it out. But I think, again, just the little bit of time and just the money I invested, and there have been so many things like that in my life. And for all of us right now, there are things we're doing that we are investing our thoughts and our time and our energy in that really aren't going to make a very big difference. And I want to share with you again, I think that this whole issue of meeting with the Lord is the most significant thing. Stephen Covey has this little quote. He says, "What is the one activity that you know that if you did superbly well and consistently would have significant positive results in your personal life? What is the one activity that you know that if you did superbly well and consistently would have significant positive results in your personal life?" And then his challenge is, if you know these things would make such a significant difference, why are you not doing them now? And Again, I think generally we can all think of why we're not doing this thing of meeting with the Lord regularly. And again, I just want to submit to you, I think it is the most significant thing you can do that will have an impact on your personal life over everything. It's the most significant thing. And I'd like for you just to think in your own mind, this is sort of a workshop-y sort of thing we're doing here, is think about what is the main thing, and we'll spend a little more time on this, that keeps you from doing this consistently. This being a quiet time, there's other word, devotional life, but as our friend up here shared, just this intimate, drawing into an intimate and close relationship with Almighty God through Jesus and His Word, talking to Him, Him talking to us, what would you say, and don't say it out loud, but in your own mind, keeps you from doing that? I want you to think about that for a second. I asked Chris Peterson, who is an old, great friend of mine, if he would just share with us how this habit has been helpful to him over the years. So, Chris, would you share with us?
Actually, I just wasn't sure if anybody else was coming to my workshop, so I thought, well, I can get one guy to come in.
I got saved in 1977. I was a junior in high school. And when I got saved, I guess I kind of went around my Christian life with sort of a vague sense of I need to be doing more. I know I should know God more. I know I should know the Word better. I know I should obey. But in a lot of ways, I didn't know what those things were that I needed to do. And when I was in college, at the University of Arkansas, Mark was the campus director there. And there was a NAVWORK on our on the floor that I was on. And some of the guys just had that attractiveness about their life. I could tell they were Christians by just the way they lived. It was like we just studied in our Bible study groups, that Matthew 5:16, the light shined out of those guys' lives in such a way that I saw their life, and I was attracted to what I saw there. It was kind of a hodgepodge group of guys, and I remember cornering one of those guys one day and said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he kind of looked at me and says, "You're a Christian?" And he'd seen me around as much as I'd seen him around. But after being a Christian for about 3 years, there was nothing about my life that was attractive enough or obvious enough that I was saved. And I wanted that in my life. And so I plugged into a Bible study that these guys were doing. And the leader of that Bible study, a guy named Dave Lum, ended up discipling me for about 4 years, starting in my junior year and the other 4 years of my college career. I'm kidding. Did the business thing in about 5 years. But at any rate, he challenged me one day. He says, "Chris, here's what I encourage you to do. Every day, spend some daily time alone with God." And he gave me a simple outline called 7 minutes with God. Now, some of you are familiar with that, I'm sure. But he said, "Here's what I want you to do. Do that for 30 days. And if it doesn't change your life, give it up. Because I wouldn't want you to be doing anything that wasn't worthwhile." And that's about 21 years ago. And it is the foundation, that particular discipline, that particular relationship that I began with Jesus to spend daily time alone with God has borne so much fruit in my own personal life. I'm not where I need to be. I'm excited about just hearing what Mark has to share today because I want to add freshness to that daily devotional time. But I can tell you, do it, apply it. If it doesn't change your life, give it up.
I was thinking of 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. It says, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for bodily discipline is of only little value, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds value in the present life and also for the one to come." And there's many things we discipline ourselves for and toward, but there are very few things we can discipline ourselves that hold such tremendous value, both in our daily lives and in the life to come. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. And so each day goes by and we spend it. And the question is, are we spending it or are we investing it? Your life is like a cup of water. We pour it out 24 hours every day. We don't know how much is left in the cup. I had a friend, it's not Kirk Perrett, I was sharing with another group this weekend, but he was killed in China last Saturday as a missionary, left his wife and six young girls below the age of seven, was knifed to death by a deranged young Chinese man that they were trying to minister to, who was anti-American and just, you know, was obviously deranged. But Valerie, the wife, had had a quiet time in Isaiah that morning, and God had prepared her as her testimony for what was to happen as He related to her. And we just don't know what is down the path for us today. Nothing that dramatic, I'm positive, or not positive, fairly, you know, confident for us. But we will all face things, even today, in our minds, in our conversations, let alone when we leave here, but that we have no concept of the dramatic turns, and even the mundane, that have significant consequences. And so the privilege we have of meeting with God, who already lives in our tomorrows, to allow Him to prepare us to walk through all of our days with Him, is a tremendous privilege. And He is willing to do that. Three times in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, it says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, quoting the Psalms. And many implications in that thought, aside from the repetition of it being important, but one is that today, God is speaking today. And again, I often share with people, He seldom shouts, He usually nudges. And if we're not paying careful attention, we'll miss the nudge. It's just the way God works. His Spirit is gentle. He is powerful. He is an awesome God. But He wants our attention. And so often He speaks quietly. And we have to be in a place in our spirit and in our minds where we are receptive to hear that voice through His Word and as we interact with Him. And so this habit, my goal is not to put any of us under a burden. Jesus cannot love you any more than He does. If you never have a quiet time the rest of your life or never memorize a verse, God can't love you any more than He does. However, you probably will not love Him. Really. Because you have to know someone to love them. And when you know God, you'll trust Him. You don't trust people you don't know, generally, even if they come on good reputation. But when you get to know someone deeply and you know they love you profoundly, you'll trust them intimately. And that's what this is all about. It's not about building a habit. It's about getting to know a person through interacting with Him and through getting to know Him, trusting Him. And through trusting Him, yielding to Him. And through yielding to Him, being conformed and changed till we become more and more like Jesus. Now, that's an exciting prospect. But it's a process. And this habit is key. And so I wanted to take a little bit of time and share some principles, some patterns, like on your handout there, of other biblical characters. A few principles and then just a couple of practices as by way of practical things. And before we do that, let me pray. Father, we do look to You, and even as we talk about You being personal, we recognize Your personhood here. You are our Father. I thank You for each individual, each man that's here, Lord, and I thank You for what You're doing in our lives. Some of us are in a lot of pain right now. Some of us, things are going well. But each of us, we say to You, we need You. We want You. We want to hear from You. We want to walk with You. We want to be infilled with Your thoughts so we can become a conduit to the lives of other people for Your glory and for Your sake. And Lord, so would You use this time in that way. And Lord, You know, I've got all my little plans about what we'll do, but I just surrender it to You. And if we need to track off in some different directions as we interact, I pray You would lead us that way. We're here for You. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like for us to do is... I don't know if I can do this. Sorry, could I... Britt, can I ask you just to flip that on? The switch is right there and then in the front. I'd like for us to break up into groups of about three or four. Just put your chairs around a little circle and just discuss these verses. If you can't see them up here, they're also written on the handout, and so just look them up. Don't worry about trying to get through all of them. We'll take about, 7 minutes and do this, but I want us to do just a little Bible study together. And so again, just you can do this pretty quickly. Just pull your chairs, however you want to do this, three or four together, just group up, and do it a little bit like you did your discussion groups this morning. Take a verse, kick it around a little bit. And what you're looking for in these verses are you're looking for patterns of men of God as they've met with God. So just observations about patterns. With the Lord, you'll just find it over and over and over again. What else? Any other observations?
Morning, daily.
Daily and morning. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Thank you. Any others?
Listen and often.
Listen and often. That's great. Listen and often.
Seeking wisdom.
Seeking wisdom. Yeah. And it comes with the presupposition that we are not the center of all wisdom in the universe, and we really need help. And the more we understand that, I think the more we'll beat a path to the center of all wisdom in the universe. Any other observations, Chris?
Well, we tried to do a cross-reference and find verses that related to sleeping till noon, and rushing. We couldn't find any on that. We noticed everything was early. And
oh, okay. Long. There's something in Proverbs, like the door on the hinges. And
yeah. Oh.
But that's a sluggard, I think. Drew?
It seemed like a great level of expectancy to hear from the Lord.
Mm. And that's a great observation, because I know I will go to these kind of times with zero expectancy sometimes. I'm just kind of waking up. And I think it's very significant to think, now, who am I meeting with? And to get a sense of that. And if the more I get that, the more expectant I am in that meeting. Like I have to come in here and talk to you guys. I'm kind of wide awake, even though I've been sleepy this morning. Because I know I've just got to be alert, And I think, if we have that sense that we're going into the presence of the living God, we tend to be a little more alert. Okay, we can spend some time on that, but I think we'll press ahead. And what I want to do is to take this passage in Mark 1, and I'm sharing this with you because I think it's a great passage, but the other reason is, this is how I share quiet time. You remember I mentioned my friend that came to my room, woke me up, and we had a quiet time. I was clueless. It was totally new to me. Well, when I do this with people now, and I do this often, I try to help people get going in quiet time, this is exactly how I do it. And so maybe if you don't have a tool or a method, this could work for you. I sometimes have it written out on a handout, or I just go with my Bible, and I say, a little bit of what I've shared with you in a more abbreviated form, I think this thing of meeting with God is the most significant thing we can do. Let's look at a passage and talk about that. And I'll turn to Mark 1. And if somebody has that, because I doubt you can see it up there, or you actually can read it off, that's right, you can read it off your handout. Mark, could I ask you to read down to, it would be the beginning verse, down to 34, out loud for us.
And when evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill, and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases, cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was.
Okay, how would you describe this scene, just in your own words? What did it look like? What did it smell like? What was going on? What was happening? What do you think? Just anybody, Mark or anybody else. Just picture this.
They basically all been out working, having a hard day, but the end of the day was coming, and the sun was setting, but they knew they had a purpose, and that was to go see Jesus.
Okay.
And when they got there, he began to minister at will and care for the needs of the people.
That's great. Yeah, what do you think, what would be some of the sounds that you might be hearing?
Animals.
Sick, demon-possessed people. So some wild stuff was going on. Gary?
Well, the whole city was there. I don't know how big the city was.
Yeah.
Everybody, a big crowd, a lot of noise.
Yeah, and again, the Bible would speak in, as we would, we'd say the whole town turned out. It probably didn't mean every single individual, but it means that the majority was there. And so we're talking, quite a few people. Now, just using your imagination, do you think they wrapped this up pretty early? Yeah, imagine if you had been a cripple all your life and you have a contact with Christ and your leg is lengthened and you can walk. Do you think you just kind of go home right away and, oh man, you know. I would guess there was a lot of conversations. I bet there was a lot going on. Now skip 35, and Mark, would you read the 36 and following?
And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him, and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby, in order that I may preach there also. For that is what I came out for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons.
Yeah. So why do you think everybody was looking for him?
Needs.
Now, if Jesus had been in bed, what would have happened, do you think? I'm sorry, I didn't hear somebody. What do you think would have happened? Nothing?
They'd have come and gotten it.
They'd have gotten it. And what would he have started doing, probably? Yeah, I mean, he started right in working, I would guess. I mean, you know, he's God, so it's not helpful sometimes to speculate about these kind of things. But just from a human point of view, and again, from my perspective, here's a great ministry opportunity. Here's an open door. People are showing up wanting help. I mean, this is what Jesus is all about. But he does something different. And again, I don't want to take a lot of time with this, but if I was meeting with a friend, we'd sit and talk about this a little bit. That Christ had a very clear center of purpose that he lined back up with. And it wasn't at that point that he was going to plant down in one location and really minister. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But that wasn't what the Father was doing with Christ at that point. It was what? What does he say he came out for? Yeah. The Father had a purpose for him. And I want to submit to each of us that the Father has a purpose for us day by day by day. And the challenge before we go roaring in to the work that grabs us by the jugular vein and pulls us through is to line back up emotionally and spiritually and mentally with the purposes of the Father. And it may save us a lot of grief of getting involved in things we just really don't. I'm not talking about sin. I mean just things we probably don't need to be involved in. It isn't really what the Father wants for us. Now, somebody read Mark 1:35. Britt, would you read that out loud for us?
And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying.
Now what I do with my friend, or a little group, if we're learning about quiet time, is I use those questions that are written there, who, what, where, when, why, and then the how question I share and how to have a quiet time. But you can take those questions and meditate through a verse with a friend. Any verse. It's just a great way to meditate through a verse. You can do Bible study. You can, like if a person is struggling with issues of lying, find a verse on lying and ask who, what, where, when, why, and how. If a person is struggling with lust, you know, go to Matthew 5, 28, and ask who, what, where, when, why, and how. If you want to encourage them in prayer, find a good verse in prayer. So this is a little method you can use. And sit down with anybody, anytime, with your Bible and a verse, and meditate together on that verse. But I do this on this verse because I want to impress the idea of quiet time. I do the same thing with the Great Commission, with Matthew 28:19-20, when I'm trying to encourage people to think about the Great Commission. So who is the verse talking about? It's talking about Christ. So here's a model for us. If Christ did this, we need to think about it. What did He do? He prayed. What did He do before He prayed? What did he do before he went to a quiet place? He got up. Key factor in this whole thing. And it sounds so simple. I've tried to have my quiet time laying down. It gets real quiet. I can share with you, it doesn't work. The first key to having a quiet time is swinging those feet kind of this direction and dropping them on the cold floor and sitting up. That's huge. You have won a major victory when you do that. And go to bed the night before and ask God to help you do that. And so when the alarm goes off, it means not hitting that snooze button. This is huge, you guys, I tell you. And of course, the key to that, and we'll talk about with hindrances, is when you go to bed the night before. That's the key, maybe the key to having a quiet time. But he got up. He didn't just stay in the room. He got up, and what did he do? He went out. He got up and he went out. Where did he go? A lonely place. Why did he go to a lonely place? Quiet time?
Solitude?
To be alone. You know, somebody told me one time, I thought, that's it. You know, he went to a lonely place to be alone. And I encourage people to, and I encourage you to think, where do you want to meet with God? And get that figured out now. Where do you want to go meet with God? When we were in Africa, a lot of the Africans would live just piled on top of each other, cousins and nephews and everybody. And it was hard for them to find a lonely place. And so one of the guys, his place, was just sitting out on the front doorstep right outside his home because that was the only place he could be alone. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, had numerous children, I think 13. I always forget because several died. And what she would do is she would take her apron with her Bible and she'd put her apron over her head. And when she did that, the kids knew that was her lonely place and she was meeting with the Lord, and don't bug her, you know, unless it was death. You could bother her otherwise, but that was her place. And I want to encourage you, where can you go? I have a chair with a light, and I can close it off and I can be alone. Again, this is very simple stuff, but very important. When did he do it?
Early in the morning.
Now again, God loves to hear from us and meet with us all day long, but a friend years ago told me this story about a knight, not true, K-N-I-G-H-T, not a true story. He was bold, valiant, brave knight, but he was a little bit lazy. And so he would kind of sleep in, and the trumpet would sound, doot, and he was to go out to fight. And so he rolled out of bed with his pajamas, started to get his armor, but there was the second call. So it was too late. So he had to go running out. He hops on his horse in his pajamas, fights all day, gets slashed and bruised and cut, comes home tired, makes his bowl of stew, puts his armor on, eats his stew, takes his armor off, hangs it up, goes to sleep. Doot. Oh, got to put my armor on. No time. After fighting his pajamas all day. And on it goes. A little ridiculous, but of course the picture is, put your armor on before you go fight. And again, I think that we face a lot of battles. At work, at school, relationships, sometimes within our own families. And if you put your armor on at the beginning of that. Again, this is not a legalistic thing. It just makes sense to meet with God at the beginning of our days and surrender the day to Him. And surrender our hearts to Him. And like Christ did, to get direction. I think He got wisdom and direction. Even though He was God, He set a model for us of meeting with His Father. Now, why did He do it? It doesn't say specifically, but just your best thought. Who, what, where, when, why?
Get direction from His Father.
Get direction from His Father. Any other whys? Get his tank refilled. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know what time they finished up, but it wasn't early. It was after dark. And he got up while it was still dark. Now, I don't think he could do this every day, day in, day out, and we can't either. But somehow he felt that even with missing some sleep, the most important thing he could do for that next day was to meet with his Father. And then I think he loved Him. He just genuinely loved his Father. And he wanted to interact with Him. And we could go on and on about that. Now, I work through that. We talk about it. I try to get them to identify a place, a when, and we'll talk about that in a little bit now, in a minute. And then I give them this very, very simple thing to get started on that I'll share with you in just a few minutes. And that's how we do it. And then we meet together and we have a quiet time right then. We do it together. And then we share what we got. This is not complicated. It's hard because everything else is screaming at us, but it's not complicated. And again, if you, each of you in this room could leave here and next week share this with somebody. You could do this with somebody. You can. You can do that. And let me encourage you. Who's a friend that you want to help them? And what it'll do is it'll help you too. Because if you're encouraging them to do this, then you know you've got to be hitting it as well. Let's move on and we'll just look at some principles of quiet time and we'll have a little interaction on this as well. I think one of the primary principles is just it's the principle of His presence. And again, what this means is this is a relationship. It's not a religious duty. It's not a religious activity. It is about God, so I suppose religion is in there. But it's a relationship. And 1 Corinthians 1:9 basically says that Christ died so that we could have fellowship with Him. One of the primary reasons that Christ died for you and for me is to bring us back into a relationship. God is a relational being. Even the Trinity, for eternity, He has had relationship within Himself, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is not the lonely Allah who has been alone for eternity. He is a relational being. And He has called us in through great sacrifice to Himself back into relationship. And that's why James 4:8 says, draw near to me and what? What's the promise? I will draw near to you. Draw near to me and what? What's He say? I'll draw near to you. Draw near to me and what? I'll draw near to you. Now, is that true or is it not? It's true. I don't feel it sometimes. Sometimes I feel it more than others. Just like sometimes I feel like a Christian one day more than another day. But that doesn't change the fact that Christ lives inside of me, nor does it change the fact if I go to meet with Him, if I draw close to Him, what's He promised? He's there. He will draw close to me. And I go by faith. And He's there. There's just a great little booklet. It comes in a tract form, and it's in Book 2 of the old 2-7 series. It may be, I don't know how they've redone the 2-7 into Growing Strong in God's Family, but it's called My Heart, Christ, Home. How many of you have read My Heart, Christ, Home? A lot of you haven't. Let me really encourage you. It's an InterVarsity tract. You can find it in most little bookstores. Very short. It is a great, great tract on a number of things, but on this whole issue of quiet time. And let me encourage you to get that as a means of sharing quiet time with other people. One, it talks about Christ coming into the home of our lives, and one of the rooms is like the sitting room or the drawing room, and the man goes in and out, and Christ is sitting there waiting for him morning by morning to meet. And it just kind of speaks to the heart. And it's just, again, Christ is waiting on us morning by morning to meet with us. I've often thought of a man whose son was dying, and he could only stay and be with his son as he died, or he could separate from the son and come meet with me, and he chooses to come meet with me. And we sit together, and he says, how are you doing? I really want to know. How's it going in your relationships? How's it going in your finances? How's it going in the areas you're tempted in? What are your dreams? What do you long for? What do you hope for? You feel like a failure? I want you to know you're extremely important. I have a purpose for you. Now again, it's a bit of a stretch, but God did separate Himself from His Son so that He could come into relationship with us and interact with us. I want to get your thoughts. You know, we have this time in the morning, and that's really what we're focusing on now in this workshop. But one of the key issues is walking with Christ throughout the day, which is more than meeting for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or an hour. We want to walk with Him all day. I'm just curious, for some of you who have been at this a while, what has helped you take that time in the morning into the day? Are there things that some of you have done that you'd share with the rest of us that have really helped you? You know what I'm asking?
What is it, the Lord's Prayer? No,
okay. So one thing is just asking Him to really walk with you and give you that sense of His presence all day. That's great. Thank you. Yeah, Gary?
My watch has a setting where it'll beep every hour, begin the shower. And that beep is a reminder to think about when I got my flashlight.
That's fantastic. You know, I just started doing that. Steve Moore has his, I think he does this 3 times a day, isn't it? Like clockwork. And I've set my watch for 3 times a day, kind of on his encouragement. So I've just started, I have 3 alarms like that too. And I just stop and try to remember what I got in my quiet time that day. That's great. Yeah?
God tells us to pray without ceasing. And if you know that you don't make any decisions without God, then throughout the day, when you come across a decision-making time, you look to God for the answer on how to work through the problem. And you'll pray and you'll respect God all day long.
So really being conscious of trying to bring every situation you're dealing with to Him.
Sure, whatever the situation is, where we've all got, God gives us all trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
He gives us people to deal with and problems. Whether you're going to school, whether you're a homemaker, whatever it is, we've all got problems. And when we come to that problem, we know there's only one that has the answer.
That's excellent. You know, I have thought that anger and fear are like gauges on my car, heat and gas or something. And then when I start to feel angry, it's what I do with that anger. And if I can use it as a reminder to do what you're talking about. And it, what are you doing? You're substituting behavior. Anger will generally make us do something we really don't want to do. And if we can learn substitute behavior by God's grace, you know, to go use that as an indicator. Whoa, wait, something's happening here, Lord. You know, what's happening? Why am I feeling this way? How do you want me to? And fear is the same way. So we can use even our emotions to push us, keep pushing us toward Him. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
We were talking about Psalm 5:3 earlier. It seems today is life is so cluttered. Mm. Pastor one time told us just to turn it off. Turn off the radio, turn off the TV, and just sit there and reflect. And, you know, let God lead you in your thought life instead of having society affect your thought life.
That's great. So just trying to reduce some of the clutter so we can hear His voice. Clutter could be radio or television or magazines or just incessant conversation or... Yeah, thanks. Any other... Yeah.
I love this, in His presence, knowing that He's always there. And if you can just... Even little breath prayers of, I love you, Lord, or thank you. Just if you're walking down the hall at work, or you're in your car, you're on your way somewhere, just a little prayer like that, and just know that He's there, and that you're really worshiping Him in that moment.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So just, again, speaking to Him, but more of the personal and praise and those kind of issues. Well, there's a lot more we could say, but let's press ahead. There's a principle of priority, and this implies decision. The great commandment precedes the great commission. And really, if you think about it, there's no such thing as the great commission. That word is never used in the Bible. There's only one great. It's the great commandment. And that word is used. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, we do have a tremendous commission that God has given us. But the great thing is falling deeply in love with Him. And this is a choice. J. Oswald Sanders looked at a group of us and says, you're as close to God as you choose to be. And he says, I didn't say as you want to be or would like to be, but as you choose to be. And, you know, I can choose to spend time with my wife. I can choose to spend time with my kids. I choose, even with the limitations that we have on our lives, we still have some discretionary time in there. And so this is it's just a choice. Tremendous, I find almost shocking passage in Luke 5:15-16 of Christ again, where it says great crowds were coming to hear Him. And I've often thought of Texas Stadium or the Cotton Bowl being filled to hear me. And I don't show up because I'm out meeting with my Father. And that was true of Christ. It says great crowds would come to hear Him, but He Himself would often slip away. You know, it's just amazing, His priorities of tremendous ministry opportunities, but He had a priority. First things first. And it was just to walk consistently with His Father. As John Crawford always tells us, you say no to say yes. You say no to say yes. We have to say no to certain things in order to say yes to other things. And so I've got to say no to some of those late night television shows or even reading or whatever you do at night. I've got to say no to that if I'm going to say yes to meeting with Him in the mornings. And the only way for me that I can have the strength to say no to things I really want to do is if the yes is so compelling. If the thing that I want to do is really compelling to me. So it's a principle of priority. It's a principle of provision. And this is just daily. Jesus is the manna from heaven. In Deuteronomy 8, 2-3, they were told they could gather manna for how many days? Do you remember? One day. Now, Sabbath, they got an extra day. But what happened if they gathered too much and kept it till the next day? It would rot. It was absolutely no good. And Christ in John 6 says, I am the manna from heaven. And we can't get enough today for tomorrow of my relationship with the Lord. I need to meet with Him today. I need to meet with Him tomorrow. It's just like eating. And that's why Jesus would say in Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How do we eat? We eat day by day by day. I can't eat enough to... You know, I can just pig out tonight and I'm going to be hungry tomorrow. So discouraging to me. But that's the way it works. And it's the same thing in our relationship with the Lord. And I find the less I spend time with Him, the less I want to spend time with Him. And the more I spend time with Him, the more I want to spend time with Him. So don't go by how you're feeling. Unless you want to. But Martin Luther said, when we most need to pray is when we feel least like it. So it's provision, it's daily, it's the principle of persistence, it's just dogged, just stay after it. There could be the tendency to feel, well, I'm really not getting anything out of this. Again, we don't treat our wives that way. We still meet with them even if we feel like we're not getting anything out of it. And again, we have a promise that He's drawing near to us. And there are times I have found that the Lord has been very quiet with me. I don't get much. And I think part of it is, my son, I want you to meet with me even when it's not emotional for you. Christ did not hang on the cross through emotion. He stayed up there by obedience and perseverance. He was also the most joyful man that had ever lived. He was a man of sorrows, but he was exceedingly joyful. So I'm not diminishing the emotion, but I'm just saying we can't function always that way. We know we need Him. We know we need to meet with Him. Principle of impediments. What are some things that keep us? Just, this is a real side note, but if you can make time for your wife by keeping those little kids, when you have little ones, even if it's a day a week, to get up and let her. I have a friend that, I think it just this last Saturday, kept his children all day and got a hotel room to let his wife go spend a half day with the Lord. Because, boy, I mean, those kids are in your they're in your face, you know, early. And what a delight, but what a challenge. So kids, that's, yeah. Anybody else?
Just getting into the social, being out late socially.
Yeah. Yeah.
Single,
yeah.
Think you had that need, so you got to be out till midnight most of the time.
Yeah. There are a lot of opportunities. If you live in cities, especially, just for all. And they're good things. I mean, a lot of them are just great things. But again, it's this greatest thing. Thanks. Yeah.
Gary? Just not getting anything out of my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just won't do it for a while. Or, yeah. Yeah, it's just legalism. Yeah, I'm just being legalistic here with this thing. Yeah.
Just overly stressed.
Yeah, just worn out from life. And again, that this is, it does cost you. I'm not saying it doesn't, but there's an energizing effect that happens even throughout the days where the Lord spares us from things as we're walking with Him that may end up, we should end up eventually with more energy. Yeah, other?
You know, we don't, the Bible says in the morning, you know, and of course, I think the Jews celebrate their day at sundown, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So their morning might be at 6 or 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night. And so don't be so bound to the fact that I got to do this like between, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning or 6 or 8 in the morning, whatever. Get into the practice of getting with God, period.
Yeah.
Whenever there's an opportunity or whenever you can take an opportunity, open your Bible, get on your knees and pray. You know, find that time where you can be alone with God and just do it. And what happens is it jumps back to that thing where you go, wow, this is really good. And pretty soon you're going, you're looking for time to be with God. And so getting in the Word, praying, being on your knees before God, and then it'll just increase from there.
Yeah, thanks. I was just thinking, Psalm 119, there's one where it says, 7 times a day I praise thee because of thy righteous ordinances. And another one says, at midnight I shall rise to give thanks to thee. So, you know, there's just this, Daniel, you know, prayed 3 times a day. So noticeably they threw him in the lion's den as a result. Yeah.
My biggest problems are my mind wandering and falling asleep.
Yeah.
Especially praying on my knees.
Yeah.
Sometimes
any thoughts that would help? Yeah. David or Chris? Dave.
I was not so much on that, but I was going to add, I've been able to set time in the morning to do this, get up early, you know, but I find that the distractions that will rise up in the morning and all kinds of things. Man, I got to pay this. I got to pay the rent today. I got to mail in that check.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I really need to do this professional meeting for today, or I'm really going to be at a loss. And oh, well, I'll just do that real quick. And then, hey, I need to leave for work for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm shaved. I still haven't read the Bible. And, you know, that.
Well, this sounds very simple, but I've done this. Somebody suggested to me, I've done it for years, is I have my little to-do list, and I have it there. And as soon as something comes to mind, I write it on there. And then I'm not going to forget that. It's on there. And, I mean, it's a very simple thing, but it's really helped me. Because I don't know if it's Satan, I don't know if it's my mind, I don't know what it is. The same thing happens to me, but I just write them down. And get them, and then, you know, get it off. So that helps me.
Mark, on that question, I was going to mention this earlier, as far as practical things that, for me, and I got in this mode early on. I felt like I was in this position of prayer, you know, to be bowing down or, you know, hands folded or whatever, to have an adequate quiet time. You know, I just walk. My prayer time, my best time is just walking. Get out there and know I'm going to be alone because, you know, there's nobody to walk in the room where I'm at or whatever. And so that helps me stay awake because I fall asleep.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I've done, that's great. I have at times walked and read my Bible. You know, I'm just kind of out of it. So I'll just stand up and kind of walk, you know, and sleepwalk a bit. Yeah.
I think it's sometimes it's easier to read or to study as opposed to meditate. It seems like meditation is a lot more work. It appears to be less effective than just reading or studying. Mm-hmm. So I think that to me is a difference. Whereas the Bible says
that
you really need to meditate.
Yeah. Well, it could be, and I'll just share this little method. It could be that you read and you just try to pick something that you'll meditate on through the day. And that's really what I want to advocate in this little method I want to share with you. And I just need to press ahead. I want to get through this. The meditate bit was kind of a lead in to that, but somebody, I said, prayerfully think about it in order to apply it. Is for me a good practical definition of meditation. Lord, what does this mean? What does it mean to me? And I think that's why all the blessings in the Bible are for meditation, because it takes it that transference from mind to life. What does this mean? What does this mean to me? And then there's the principle of variety. And we won't take the time, but I was going to discuss of what's been meaningful to you. But there's so many things you can do just to add variety. Like, I like praying, actually taking passages of Scripture and praying over them. Talking through it to the Lord. Meet with somebody else for quiet time once a week. Memorize a verse. Pray on your knees out loud. Again, walking. Get on your face fast. I read the Bible every day, but I will add biographies from time to time, or little devotional books, just to kind of, if I have a little extra time, that just keeps me encouraged. Journal, write down things that God is speaking to you. Find people that you know have a strong devotional life and just sit with them for 30 minutes We had the privilege early this week of meeting for about 3 hours with Howard Hendricks and just picking his brain. It was just a real treat. And there are people at this conference that have tremendous devotional lives. They've walked with the Lord for years. Just sit with them and ask them what they do, what keeps them encouraged. And we've mentioned a couple of the other things. If you like to sing, sing. Now I want to share just a couple of thoughts on having a place and a plan. And again, this is almost back around to what I was sharing earlier. If I was helping someone learn how to have a quiet time, I would help them identify a place where they want to meet, a location, free from distractions. I want them, all they need is a pen, something to write on, and a Bible. You know, again, later they can add song books and all kinds of biographies and other stuff. But we just want to start with a pen, something to write on, and paper. And I tell them, you know, just pray and prepare your heart for the Lord. And Chris mentioned this little pamphlet, 7 Minutes with God. This is what the guy started me with as well. It's the idea of just start with 7 minutes. Can you make 7 minutes to meet with the Lord? And that's the challenge of this little pamphlet. And again, if you want to share having quiet time with someone, this is a great way to get them started. And basically, the simple outline is pray and ask the Lord to meet with you. Read, write something down, and pray it back again. And the additional thing is it has acts in here, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication as a real neat little introduction to prayer. So I would recommend this as a great little tool to use with other people. Now, what I do is on that back page that I describe quiet time, this is out of the 2-7 Bible study series. It's very simple. It's communication. It's a relationship with God. God speaks to me through the Word, and I speak to Him through prayer. And I want to create or work on that relationship. And I get people, this sounds so simple, and I'm sure many of you do this. If you haven't done this, do this and get other people to do it. It is so simple, and I'll tell you why I think it's just beautiful. This face-to-face with God, some people don't like writing things down. Just do it. And I get them to write the date and then what passage that they read. So let's say they read Psalm 1. They'd write Psalm 1 down. And then what is the key thought or passage? Now what we do is we read through it. And I'll sit on one side of the room and they'll sit on the other. We don't read it out loud. They read it. I read it. And I tell them, write down in your own words the key thought. And I say it doesn't have to be the main thought. We're not doing Bible study here. It's just the thing that stands out to you. And they read through. I didn't get anything. Read through it again. We've asked the Lord to impress us. He will. And just whatever. Maybe it's a phrase. Maybe it's a few words. Maybe it's a verse. And I say, now just write that down. You can write it down verbatim if you want to. Just exactly like it's written there. Or if you want to put it kind of in your own words. What is the thought? And then here's the next step, which is key. And it's again, it's meditation. It's taking it from what does it mean to what does it mean to me. And this is so simple, but what we're doing is we're crossing that great boundary in bringing God's Word into our lives. And so that's the next one. What is God personally saying to me from that thought? And so it could be, Lord, I want to praise You for this. I need to confess this. I need to share this with somebody. Lord, this is such a wonderful thought. Help me to think about it today. So this is so simple. What did you read? What's the key, the thought or the impression or the thing that kind of stands out to you? In your own words, again, you just may write the portion of the verse down. And then what does it mean to you personally? So they write that, I write that, and we take maybe 5 minutes and share. I share first so they feel more comfortable. I don't go very long or get very complicated. I just say, this thought really encouraged me. And I share it. What did you get? And they share theirs, and I get really excited. Because it is exciting. And then we pray. And basically the prayer side of this is talking to God about what He's talked to us about. So that closes the circle. And I want to communicate with them that before we start talking about Aunt Gertrude's sickness, which we may need to pray about, God has spoken to us. And so I want to talk back to God Lord, help me to think about this thought today. Lord, help me to share this with somebody today. Thank you, Lord, for this great thought. Help me to remember it. And, Lord, please help Aunt Gertrude. So we keep the prayer very short. I may pray if they don't feel comfortable. At some point, I hope they can start praying and talking back to God about what He's spoken to them about. Any questions about this? Yeah.
If you're in a real specific Bible study, would you recommend having a separate time for that than your quiet time? I've noticed sometimes my quiet time, I use it to do the Bible study that I'm responsible for, and I kind of get the mechanical answering all the questions and things.
Yeah.
How do you address that?
Yeah, I really would. I would encourage, and this sounds, again, so simple if you've been at this for years, but do the little process of writing down a thought as a set, and it may be out of your Bible study. And you may have found some great truths. But the difference is, what are you saying to me today? And to identify one thought. Now, again, part of the reason, there's several reasons for doing this. If you can get in the habit yourself or get another person in the habit, and they look back over these over, say, a six-month period, they will begin to see trends. You really will. You'll see God saying the same issue over and over and over to you. And part of it's just where your life is and what's going on. And I'm sure there's a natural explanation to a lot of it. But I think God leads in a lot of ways. The other thing it does, aside from seeing patterns of what God is saying, is it crystallizes one thought that you can take with you through the day. So you set your watch and you can reflect back on that thought. And again, like I was sharing you with you at the beginning, Valerie Morrison, God had given her a thought that morning in her quiet time. And again, it's very dramatic, but it spoke directly to what she was going to experience in the loss of her husband that day. Now again, we don't see it that dramatically, obviously. But a friend of mine is doing this, and he's telling me, he said, Mark, he works at an engineering firm. He says, almost every day, I feel like God is preparing me. It's been really spooky. And again, not that that's going to happen for everybody and all that, but I think we can, like we said, we can expect, we can meet with Him with expectancy that He's speaking. And so even if I'm doing Bible study or whatever, I write, and I have a Palm Pilot. So right now I'm writing the thought in my Palm Pilot just because I'm kind of mobile, and that way I can do it around. But just a lot of people just carry a little notebook or whatever works for you. Yeah. Yeah, I think Daily Bread is great along with other devotionals. But I want to encourage people also just start reading through the Bible. Like to tell, and when I'm doing this with somebody, I'll start either in Mark because it's the shortest gospel, 16 chapters, and we go straight through. Or maybe I'll do even Proverbs, starting with chapter 10, because anybody can find something in Proverbs. And so I do this. I've done Proverbs with non-Christians sometimes. They're willing to do it, sort of a quiet time sort of thing, and we'll do Proverbs. But I want to get people reading the Bible. And Daily Walk is great, but I want to bring the whole aspect of Bible reading in there. So what I'd like for us to do, by way of practice, is one of two things. Is to take Psalm 1. If you could turn there, I've got it on the overhead, but you probably won't be able to see it. To take Psalm 1 and to do this little exercise and pray, ask God to show you something. Excuse me. Write the particular verse that strikes you. Write it out in your own words, or just word for word, verbatim. And then write down, what does it mean to me? Now, if you have done this a lot, here's what I would like to ask you to do. And it's on the back of that. If you've done this kind of method quite a bit, what I want to ask you to do is to listen and list. That's under the practice side on the handout. And that is just to ask the Lord in those areas to speak to you, even over these next few minutes. Lauren Sandy, who was the former president of the Navigators and spoke at last year's Key Man's, shared with a group of us that he faced so many challenging decisions as he led the work that's really around the world. You can imagine things that come up all over the world. And sometimes he'd be at a loss, and he'd go out, and he got this habit from actually what John Wesley would do. He would go out and he'd pray and say, Lord, here's the situation, and you know I feel a lot of stress about this. Is there anything that you want me to do about this? And then if something came to mind, he'd write it down. And he said, if nothing came to mind, he'd say, Lord, I'm going to leave this. I'm going to cast this anxiety upon you. And I will not take, I'll do my best not to take this back again until you give me some direction or some thought. Now, there are decisions we have to make. We just have to make sometimes. But to leave those anxieties with Him, and you're, some of you are facing issues at work or in your families, I'm sure, that are just right there, that are very, very stressful and painful. And I'd like for you just to list that and listen and see if God gives you any direction. He's committed Himself to give us wisdom. There are other things. I keep a dream list of about 7 to 10 things that if resources were no problem, time or money, what would I dream God would do? And I add and take off that list all the time. And it's been remarkable over the years how God has done some of those things. And done all of them, thankfully. And so that might be a second list. Is just what would be some dream prayers and to write those down. There's one or two other thoughts on there. That's probably enough. Yeah, challenges or just praises, if you want to list some praises to God. So if you've done this Psalm 1 sort of thing before, listen. Otherwise, do Psalm 1. And we'll just be quiet here for a few minutes and let you guys do that. Okay, anyone want to share something that stood out to them or struck them from what they read? Thank you.
I'm fairly new in learning the ways of the Christian. This is my first mention. I like the verse number 6. It's, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Mm. And I think I got it from that is, it's more of a, you know, personal experience made where I always know and I've always told the ones who work hard will prevail, and the ones who, you know, try to knock somebody else off the top, and, you know, being the ways of the wicked will, you know, will diminish and won't go anywhere. And, you know, it's just, to me, it's just like somebody that just tries to be mean, cruel to other people will just won't, you know, go anywhere in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's great. You know, so many, there's some things we just kind of know are true, and then you find them in the Scripture, and it's amazing. And you realize that this is just universal truth. Again, I think for us, one of the things of being in different countries was seeing how, even though the cultures were extremely different, that we would do these very simple things I'm talking about sharing with you. And as these men and women would get into the Bible, it would be true for them in their culture in that place. And it was just so exciting to see life change as a result of interacting with Christ that way. So thanks. Anybody else have one to share? Yeah, please.
What spoke to me was, especially as men, that we're always trying to seek out role models and people that we should look up to so we can be successful in our personal life, Christian walk. It just spoke to me that you should be looking really at someone who's not successful personally or in a material sense, but more so in a spiritual sense.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Because what I find is you could take a short passage and almost everybody gets a different thought in some form or fashion. And again, it's evidence to me not only that we're different, but that God really is speaking to us individually where we are. I really believe that's true. I got three more things I'm going to share, and then we'll be done and we'll finish on time, Lord willing. One is just a quote to share. Oh, well, the first thing is there's a promise on the back of this. My quiet time promise. A place. Have you identified that? What time were you on AIM at trying to meet with the Lord? Get that written down. Where in the Scripture do you want to start? Figure that out today instead of tomorrow.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Basic question. How do you figure out where you want to start?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that if you haven't done a lot, I would start in the New Testament. I would start with the gospel. And again, it's just for the exposure to the life of Christ. And so, I start people in Mark because it's short and we can kind of get through it and get an overview of the life of Christ. I think then some good letters or epistles or to start in would be like Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, because there's just some great perspective on who Jesus is and how He wants us to live. Again, I think if you're just looking for practical wisdom, Proverbs is a great place. I have a friend, I've done this more recently, where he reads, there's 31 Proverbs, so he reads a proverb every day. You know, on the second he reads two. And so some people do that along with wherever else they're reading. I think if you've been at it a while, then dip into the Old Testament and read some, I think some of the historical books in the Old Testament are great, like Genesis is a great place. I think probably read Genesis first if you haven't read the Old Testament, just to get all of the beginnings that are in there. Any other thoughts? Yeah, Gary?
I did something a year and a half ago, and it took me 176 days to do it. Because I took Psalms 119 and had focused on one verse a day.
Wow.
176 days. And it's all about God's Word, and you really get a great perspective of what David thought about the Word and how he was about it.
Wonderful thought. Great idea. Yeah.
One thing I learned is, especially in reading, well, any scripture, but especially in the Psalms and Proverbs, is keep a little notebook on the attributes of God. As you see an attribute of God, you write it down.
Great suggestion. You can use that for praise and prayer. I've got to stop us because I want to be faithful to quit on time. Let me give you a quote from Oswald Chambers. It says, "Your Father, Jesus says, is in secret and nowhere else. Enter the secret place, and right in the center of the common round, you find God there all the time. Get into the habit of dealing with God about everything. Unless in the first waking moment of the day you learn to fling the door wide back and let God in, you will work on a wrong level all day. But swing the door wide open and pray to your Father in secret, and every public thing will be stamped with the presence of God." I want to ask you to fill out on, we're supposed to do this now, I think. There's a workshop evaluation at the back of this thing.
Excellent. Page 28.
28. Actually, I think it's
several.
Do the first one. It's 25, I think. Yeah, 25, Friday morning. Is this Friday morning? Yes. 25, Friday morning. And just take a few minutes. It won't take you long. Just fill it out. And as you're doing that, I want to mention, I send out a newsletter that we're involved in the collegiate ministry. I'm always looking to add people, friends, for both support and prayer. That's how we function. No pressure, but I would love to send you our newsletter. Doesn't mean you need to support us, but if you just even want to pray and kind of know what's going on, I'd love to send it to you. So what I'm going to do is I'll just, I guess I'll just pass this book around. I'm not in any way offended if nobody signs it, really. But it could be that you'd like to. I'd be happy to send you a newsletter. And I'm going to pray. And I think you just leave those in the book. I think at the end we probably tear them out and turn them in. Do you remember from last year? I can't remember. It seemed like that's what we do. I think at the end. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pass my book around. It's got Mark on the front. And then when you finish that, you're free to go get some lunch, I think, is the next thing. Father, thank You for this time. And Lord, most of all, thank You for You. And Lord, where would we be without You? We need You desperately. And we need You day by day. And I just pray that this short time that we have spent together would be motivational and encouraging to all of us, including me, to seek You. You've said if we seek You with all our heart, that we'll find You. Tremendous promise, like a treasure hunt. Lord, we want to find You. We don't want to live in the dark and wander and bump and hurt ourselves and other people. We desperately want to walk in the light. And we, You know, Lord, You look into our hearts, each one. And some of us have been at this a while with You, and some of us are just starting, but each of us desperately need Your help, or we'll just go off into the weeds. We look to You. Would You give us the motivation to meet with You day by day? It sounds funny to say that, how we should just want to do that, but You know how we are. So encourage us and help us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.